Welcome to the Neo Self-Care Podcast. This is the podcast where self-care meets transformation. My name is Vashti Maya, and I am your guide to exploring fresh, empowering ways to nurture your mind, body, and soul. Here, we go beyond bubble baths and face masks, and we dive deeper into personal growth, emotional wellness, and practical tools for thriving in every area of life. So whether you're here to build confidence, find balance, or to rediscover yourself, Neo Self-Care is your space to feel supported, inspired, and ready to embrace your journey. Let's grow, heal, and glow together, one episode at a time. Welcome to Neo Self-Care. Happy 2025. I am your host, Vashti Maya, and this is the space where we explore innovative ways to nurture our mind, body, and spirit. So today we're kicking off the new year with a conversation about embracing change and stepping into the best version of yourself for 2025. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you so much to all of my listeners, for all of the viewers. This is season 3. This is the third year. We are growing. But most importantly, we are making lasting changes for ourselves. So I just wanted to take that time out to say thank you to everybody. I really do appreciate you guys. I'm really excited for where this is going to go this year and for everyone who's going to be joining our family and our community. So thank you so much. And happy 2025. It is a 9-year. It is a year that is meant for completion, a year that's meant for change, a year that's meant for transformation and growth. And I am so looking forward to it. And I hope that you are as well. So just like I mentioned, we are going to be kicking off the new year talking about embracing change and stepping into the best version of ourselves for 2025. Now, granted, the whole rest of the season, the whole rest of the year, we are always talking about ways to become the best version of ourselves, but we're going to look at it from like a grand scheme, seeing that this is the absolute first episode of the new year. So let's go ahead and get started. Wait. I just want to let it be known, back by popular demand, I will be bringing back readings on the podcast. So kind of just seeing, you know, what the energy is for the week. Today it's going to be overall what the energy is for this year for like the collective, but I've been asked about it and I decided that this is the year that I want to bring it back. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that, okay? All right. So I just kind of want to share a little bit with you guys about my own personal transformation. If you are a familiar, a returner, then you know that I like to share my own personal stories with you guys to let you know that, you know, I'm not above the next person. We all have certain things we go through. We all have certain, you know, trials and tribulations, for lack of a better term, that we each go through. And so I like to share my own personal things with you guys just so you can have that moment to relate, okay? So I'm going to talk about a time when change felt overwhelming to me, but ultimately it led to growth. Now, there was a time in 2024, if you've been listening to me for a while, then you're no stranger to this, but there was a moment where my husband and I separated. And for about a year, really less than a year, because things kind of worked out before a year. And so, you know, we were able to get to a better and healthier place. But that was a major transition for me. That was something that felt overwhelming but felt necessary, and it was just a lot. And I just feel like that's something that you have to go through to truly understand it, especially when there's like kids involved and things of that nature. But ultimately it did lead to us obviously reconciling, really being able to look at things from a different approach, which ultimately ended up to us being stronger and better and healthier and really sure that we're not going anywhere. I mean, so much so that we have our 5-year vow renewal coming up this year and a whole wedding, and I'm so excited. So like this year is tremendous for me already. So, but I do feel, and we talked about before that, you know, sometimes we look at the separation as a catalyst for getting on the right track with one another. And it was scary and it was unpredictable and it was overwhelming, but it led to so much growth individually, which ended up being tremendous growth for us together as one, as a unit, as a couple, as a marriage, you know? So that's one example. Another thing is really just, for me, I'm like so into numerology and stuff. And, you know, last year, 2024, was like a 5-year for me. It was a personal 5-year for me, which brought about so much change and turbulence and shifts and transitions and things that I was not even expecting. There was like a major like truth bomb that kind of came out of my family that I initiated, and that was overwhelming in itself, you know, to really have that moment to speak your truth. It was a very truthful year for me. It was a year of like the veil being removed and a lot of memories coming back from my subconscious and a lot of memories from childhood that I had blocked out. And so there was a lot of things that came out, and it was overwhelming to deal with the backlash of speaking my truth. But you can't please everybody, and you shouldn't try to. So, So that was another thing that really was a big thing for me in 2024. But I have been able to grow from that. I have been able to really speak clearer and speak my truth more, which I'm so excited to see where it takes me this year. So I am just like, you know, the theme of starting fresh is big for me. The theme of starting fresh is pretty much what, you know, the new year is about. I know some people really don't acknowledge January as the new year because, you know, spring is really in March. That's when things start coming back. That's really the new beginnings. But we are here in the United States of America or wherever you are, and 2025 became a thing on January 1st, so we're going to roll with it for now. But yeah, so in this episode, we're going to talk about how to release fear of change, set aligned goals, and build habits that will help you stay connected to your higher self all year long. Now, obviously, I give you tips, I give you tricks, I give you everything that I got, but you know that no change really starts to form unless you take that and do what you do with it, right? I'm sure we all know that. So just remember, you can hear the lessons, you can hear the tips, you can hear the talks, but it is not until you make that active decision. It is not until you make that active choice to take what you heard, find what resonates with you, and implement it into your own life. All right. So let's go ahead and get started with the first segment, which is kind of just reflecting on the lessons of the past year. So why does reflection matter when you're getting to the point of like a new year or a new phase in life? Why does reflection matter? Well, if you begin to understand the lessons from the past, or in this case, the past year, then it can guide you to intentional change. What do I mean by that? Pretty much, we can't evolve if we don't first acknowledge where we've been. Because how can you truly tell if you're changing? How can you truly tell if evolution is actually taking place versus you being where you have always been. So when you are reflecting, you're taking that time to consider the choices that you've made, the feelings that you felt, or the emotions that you felt, even the choices that you didn't make, which ultimately is still a choice, right? You're looking at that and you're identifying strengths and challenges and any other thing that you deem important. You're looking at that and you're looking at your habits and, you know, all of that, and taking it into account to see if that's something that you can take with you or if that's something that should just stay behind. We can't evolve if we don't first acknowledge where we've been. So reflection. If you haven't done it already, I would employ you to get clear about the goals that you want to set. I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit down the line, but I really do employ you to reflect on your last 12 months. What were those things that, you know, you said you were going to accomplish, and now we're in the next year and you never even touched them? Are those things that still matter to you? Or are those things that, you know, you were just like, well, you know, my views have changed? Reflection. What are some things that you said you were going to do that you didn't do and you really wanted to? And what do you notice about the way how your choices or your selection process was set up? Some people say, go into a new year, right? Let's say you're in 2024, it's beginning of the new year, and you say, oh, this year is all about me. I'm going to get deeper in my spirituality. I'm going to get deeper in, you know, eating right, eating well, making sure my body is healthy, feeding myself delicious, nutritious foods, that's going to help me operate at my highest self. And then you make it to December 31st, and you probably gained weight. You probably never once touched a spiritual book. You probably said you were going to read this year, and you never once did that. You know, really take into account, and not out of a place of, oh my gosh, I failed, right? Because we don't talk about failing. Without failing, we wouldn't know success. So we don't look at it from a harsh term, but from a sense of understanding, a sense of being gentle with yourself about it, right? And really look at the things that happened or didn't happen. And once you're able to, like, line that stuff up, once you're able to do that, I feel like that it's easier to tell, okay, how did this not go as planned? What did I do that I don't need to do? You know, the same things I just said earlier. It just sets it up. And you can do that in your head, but I would heavily employ you to write it down, because when you can see things right in front of you, you get a better grasp of them. It's kind of just like journaling, right? If you have a million thoughts in your mind, but you put them down on paper, it starts to make sense. So reflect. Reflect on your choices. Reflect on what it looked like. And if you're just like, well, you know, I can reflect, but I don't really know how. Let me give you like 3 questions, you know, and then from there, you could keep flowing and flowing and flowing to create your own questions to see what resonates with you. But first thing I would employ you to ask yourself is, what went well in 2024? What went well? What are you most proud of from 2024? Is it that you finished a semester of school? Is it that you had moments where you really didn't want to get out of the bed, but you did get out of the bed? Is it that you landed a job you really wanted? Is it that you pushed yourself further than you thought you would? You know, is it that you were able to drink at least a gallon of water one day out of the year? What went well? What are you most proud of? Once you take the time to really think and consider about what went well this past year, and you write that down, Then I want you to go to the next. What challenges did you face? And what did you learn from them? So it's not just about writing, oh, I faced this challenge, this challenge, this challenge, that challenge, that challenge. No, no, no. It's about what did you face and what did you learn from that? See, we really push becoming gentle with yourself. We really push, you know, treating yourself with grace, not harsh, gracefulness. So for me, what challenge did I face? On a personal note, I faced, oh my gosh, this was more towards like the end of the year, but I, again, spoke my truth, right? And to some, it may not be a challenge, but it was a big challenge. It was a big challenge because of how it made other people feel and how other people retaliated or reacted from the things that I had to say. What did I learn from that challenge? I learned that not everybody is meant to be in my circle. And sometimes we know certain things. We know this, right? Like I could say, oh yeah, I know everybody's not meant to be in your circle. You find your vibe, you find your tribe, and you live it out. But sometimes with life, you continue to, you know, go through it. And sometimes things are forgotten. Sometimes because of who it is, you forget that it's okay if they're not there. And so what did I learn from my challenge? I learned that when I speak my truth, there may be some people who's against it. But that is not for me to take anything back. Just because I live in my truth doesn't mean that someone else is going to be okay with it. And I must be okay with them not being okay because it is my truth. So that's just an example. But, you know, think about your challenges and then respond to those challenges with what you learn from them. Number three. What habits or relationships or beliefs no longer serve you? I love this question. And let me tell you why I love it. Because not only are you identifying certain things that really stuck with you, you know, like habits, they stick with you. Relationships, those are people who were right there with you. Beliefs, that's what helps you determine most things you go through. That's what helps you with your choosing process. So which habit, relationship, or belief no longer serve you? And I'll tell you what, one lesson that I learned in 2024 is how it's shaping my intention for 2025 is how can I word this? It's okay to not be liked. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I learned, I had this like belief that I had to be liked. And I don't mean by like everybody, right? Like I don't need everybody like me, but there was a particular person, a parent, my mom, where I felt like I just needed her to like me. And I've shared with you guys plenty of times before, you know, I grew up in foster care. And so I'm a psychology student, so I talk about the mind a lot. But, you know, I did not have the psychological foundation that most people have with their parents. Like, there was none of that with me. So the first 7 years of my life was kind of just different house to different house to different house to where it can be looked at different ways. Like, number one, I don't really crave to have like a parental relationship with anyone because I never had one in my foundation years. And I could see how that could be a bit on the left side and the right side. But because of the way how that was set up for me in the beginning of life is how easy it was for me to cut ties, you know? So I learned that I don't have to be liked. I don't have to be liked. And that was a big thing for me because personally, the relationship with, you know, I'll say my mother, I'll say my mother because I've never really had a relationship with my father. I don't really know him like that. He wasn't present for, one sec. He wasn't present for most of my life. But with my mom, like, that's a different story from a different day. But, you know, I had to really understand and believe that, you know, sometimes we have people in our life who it's just who they are and we don't have to deal with certain things. And, you know, my mom, I will always love her because she gave me life. She brought me here. But I have to be real with understanding that she was a narcissistic parent. And I knew that, but kind of felt like, oh, I can't, like, cut ties with my mom. But it became, like, so stressful and overburdened until it was literally, like, God, the universe, whatever, really just, like, showed me, like, look, your time is up here. And I'm not going to get into it too much on this episode, but that was a major, 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 major thing for me to get over in 2024. And it is helping me shape my intention for 2025 because of the freedom that it's brought me. It's allowed me to step more into who I am. And I have every intention to bring that out this year, to bring out me, who I am, what makes me feel good, what truths I have that can help other people without feeling like I'm outshining somebody else, especially someone who you should outshine, because I'm a firm believer that you want your kids to do better than you. So when you have a relationship with a parent who doesn't want to see you do better than them, it gets a bit toxic, you know what I mean? So that was like a really big thing for me. So I'm just giving you guys some examples, but yeah, that was a really big lesson that I learned in 2024 that is really reshaping my intention for 2025, which is to live my life unapologetically and to do what feels good for me, because that's what it should be about. Do what feels good for you. So since we're talking about intention, I want to go ahead and get into segment two, which is setting goals that align with your higher self. Setting goals that align with your higher self. For starters, what is the importance of alignment? Well, number one, goals that are rooted in your values and goals that are rooted in your higher self are more sustainable and way more fulfilling. So for example, instead of setting surface level goals like lose weight, be happy, focus on something like feel strong and energized in my body, feel fulfilled even when I'm not doing much. Right? So you really want to touch on something that's more fulfilling and more sustainable. It's important to, or I would say number two is, you know, the power of intention over resolution. People say, oh, what are your New Year's resolutions? Nothing. Ask me what my New Year's intentions are, then I can give you everything. But intentions are more flexible and forgiving rather than rigid resolutions. Oh, my resolution is to lose weight, and then you don't do it and you end up beating yourself up. But if your intention is to be a bit more mindful with my choices that I do for my body, a bit more mindful with how I think and perceive the world, a bit more mindful with how I treat myself. Those are intentions. And what the difference between the two, the difference between intentions and resolutions is intention focuses on the process, while resolutions are often focused solely on the outcome. And most times people want that instant gratification, right? You want to get to the finish line. But the gift and the joy and everything else is in the process. It's about the process. Because if you're taking little steps here and there, if you're doing those micro habits, and we'll talk about that, but if we're doing those things, we're going to eventually get to where it is we want to be, right? But if we're focusing on just the process, like one thing that I'm doing is like, I'm trying. No, we don't talk like that. I'm doing is making better habits in different parts of my life. And I am more focused on the process of that. Because I know eventually it will come. So I don't even have to worry about that. That's not even going to have my attention, a destination, because that's already done. That's already taken care of. It's the process. It's the journey. It's the things in between that are in my control, right? Because you can sit down for 365 days and do absolutely nothing, and you're going to be exactly where you started, sitting down. But if you get up and you say, you know what, I'm going to sit down 300 days, but for 65 days, I'm going to walk around, you're going to be in a slightly better position than when you start. And so when you start thinking from a place of intention rather than resolution, it becomes more enjoyable. You're not as harsh on yourself. You're gentle with yourself. You give yourself grace because it's all in the intention. It's all in the process, not focusing on the outcome. So how can you get there? Using SMART goals. And let me tell you something. I'm a person who hated SMART goals. I don't know why I did, but I really did hate it. I hated it. I was like, I don't care to do this. I have a goal. There it is. It's whatever. But as I became wiser, I started to realize that when you set SMART goals, you're giving yourself a chance, a real chance. So what are SMART goals? Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Using SMART goals, I encourage you to choose 1 to 3 goals for the year that truly, truly, truly excite and align with your higher purpose. Now, if you want to write down more, that's totally up to you. But I say set 3, set 1, because once you reach that 1, you have the rest of the year to set another one. Or maybe that one is just so big and important to you that by achieving that 1, it's enough. And you get to really celebrate yourself and see that you could do it, that you can really do anything you put your mind to. So again, I encourage you, choose 1 to 3 goals for the year. And they have to truly, truly, truly excite and align with your higher purpose. They have to. Because if not, what's the point? What's the point of having a goal that you don't really feel connected to? It'll be easier to just be like, I'm good on it. But when it's a goal that you're like, oh my gosh, this is exciting. Can you imagine what this is going to make me? Can you imagine where this will take me? Can you imagine of like who I will become? Even if that is just a person who's disciplined and a person who's inspired and motivated and creative, regardless, it's your goal. And you don't have to tell anybody it. It's your goal. It's your little secret. But make sure it's one that truly excites you. Make sure it's one that truly aligns with your higher purpose. So with this one, I will encourage you to, you know, for those who like to write journal prompt, or just think about, Who do I want to become in 2025? Who do I want to become in 2025? And once you figure that out, I want you to ask yourself, what habits, thoughts, or actions will help me to embody that person? So let's put it together and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Who do I want to become in 2025? And what habits, thoughts, or actions will help me embody that person? You see, I say a lot that if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And I am a strong believer of that. Because if you don't know who you want to become, if you don't know what it is that you want, how would you ever know if you reached it? How would you ever know if you're going the right way? And sometimes, you know, you have to have these conversations with yourself and take accountability for your lack of progress and your lack of forward direction. Now, that's not to say that taking a couple of steps back is the worst, because sometimes you have to remove yourself from a situation to get a better grip on it, to get a better sense of, I need to go this way. So I'm not saying that as if it's the bad thing, but I am saying that in life you should always be moving forward, and that forward motion may look different from somebody else. Someone's forward may be moving to the left, while somebody else's forward may be moving to the right. Somebody else's forward may be moving up, maybe moving, you know, diagonal. So we're not going to always have the same. But there shall always be a constant motion. There shall always be somewhere that you're trying to get, even if it's just peace, even if it's just joy. Who do I want to become in 2025? Maybe your thing is, you know, I want to be a better parent. Maybe you're like, I want to be a better parent, or, well, let's start there and then I'll give another example. Okay, so you want to be a better parent in 2025. What habits will help you embody being a better parent? Is it giving your child an extra 5 minutes of your time? Is it, or uninterrupted time? Is it, you know, making sure that you are planning out meals? Is it making sure that, you know, sometimes you speak in a calmer voice than you typically would? What does it look like? What habits? What thoughts will help you embody being a better parent? Is it changing your point of view? Is it considering the perspective of your child? Because maybe that's a way you have never thought. What actions will help you to embody being a better parent? Is it just showing up? Is it taking a couple of hours away from work so that you can give it to your child? What does that look like? Who do you want to become in 2025? Do you want to be a person that's more disciplined? What habits does a more disciplined you look like? What habits does that person embody? Does that person have a morning and evening routine that they stick to? What type of thoughts? Is this the person who says, we have goals, we're going to push through, and so by all means necessary, we're going to get it done? What actions? Does this person work out 5 times a week? Does this person actually plan for their business, plan for their schooling, plan for their job? What does that look like? Does this person go to work on time? You know, like, what do these things look like? So you have to know who you want to become. Then you have to understand what habits, thoughts, or actions will help you to become the person that you want to be. And then become it, and then embody that. So that really leads us to our third segment, which is about creating daily habits to embrace change. Number one, small steps for big change. Small, consistent actions are more effective than massive overhauls. I'm gonna say that again for the people in the back. Small, consistent actions are more effective than massive overhauls. What do I mean by that? If you want to meditate daily, start with just 2 minutes a day instead of trying to jump into 30-minute sessions. If you want to start running, start with running in intervals instead of just saying, I'm gonna run the whole time. Small, consistent actions are more effective than massive overhauls. And let me tell you, okay, I needed to preach that to myself for so long, because I'm a cold turkey girl. Look, when I first went raw vegan, I jumped into it. I was raw vegan for 3 years, granted, right? But like, it was like, I just did it. I was woke up the next day. I was like, okay, I'm raw vegan. And I stayed that way for like 3 years. And so, not to say that it may not be effective, but I will say that I'm not now, right? And I could give all the reasons in the world, but I'm not now. I had to teach myself that the small steps are okay. The small steps mean something. I had to teach myself that. I had to teach myself that, hey, I may have 319 ideas, but it's okay to just start with one. And I know that it may not be the easiest thing in the world. I know. Trust me, I know. My husband loves to tell me it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. But I be trying to sprint. I do. I try to sprint. I try to get there. And I had to teach myself, hey, it's okay to not be there. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe don't try to wash 10 loads of laundry in a day when you know that washing and then folding overwhelms you. Shoot for one. Shoot for two. But the small, consistent actions are way more effective than the massive overhauls. And if you can remind yourself that, if you can remember that the small things count, then you will live, number one, a less stressed life, because you're not stressing over the fact that you had a little major or minor slip up. Because it's the small, consistent things. If you know that you're not a water drinker, don't try to shoot for a gallon of water. Maybe you just need to drink one or two bottles, because that's better than doing zero. And then eventually you'll get there. But the small things add up. The small changes are effective. The small habits and actions that you're taking are effective. And that can run each way. So when you're creating daily habits to embrace change, right? Remember the small steps, but then also create daily habits to keep you grounded. I am big on a meditation or a mindfulness practice. And I don't even, I'm not telling you to do this for an hour. I'm not even telling you to do this for 30 minutes. I don't even do it for 30 minutes. So how can I tell you to do it? But taking about 5 to 10 minutes a day to just be still, to just silence your mind, silence the noise, even though you're still going to think. You're going to think and just kind of just close your eyes and just lay there. Set a timer. I normally put like a timer on my Apple Watch for like 5 minutes and 5 seconds, because I know I got to get comfortable and then close my eyes for the 5 seconds. And I will just focus on my breath And do I have thoughts? Oh yeah, I have some of the wildest thoughts when I'm intentionally doing something. But I just observe. And I spend moments in that quietness. Sometimes if it's too loud in my head, I will say inside of me, you know, inhale, exhale, or breathe in, breathe out. Not out loud, but you know, inside, telepathically. And that's a way how to kind of get some control over my mind. But sometimes even that don't work. But as you start to build this habit of meditation or mindfulness, you start to become a bit more centered. You start to become more grounded. Another thing that I do is morning journaling to set intentions for the day. See, a lot of times some of us just wake up and we just go. And then we have all these things happening in our day. And some things we're cool with, some things we're not so cool with. But we have no direction of how we want our day to go because we don't spend time setting intentions for our day. Now, does that mean that like your day is always going to go as you intend? Sometimes, yeah. I'll be the first to tell you, I've had moments where I've set intentions and it's like, oh my God, this actually happened. Oh my God, I actually did have a good day. Oh my God, I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. But I've also had those times where I don't set an intention and then I'm surprised that the day wasn't a good day. So when you're journaling, right, you can set your intention for the day. Like today, for example, I set an intention to accomplish something and here we are. My intention was to do this. And then I did it and it felt so good that in the middle of the day, I set an intention to do something else and to have something else come up, and it did. And so even if it doesn't happen sometimes, it sets you up to become the author of your life, which I think is most important. Another thing that I do, especially being more intentional about this year, is daily gratitude practice to focus on positivity during transitions. And I feel that this is absolutely important because when you are focused on the things that you are grateful for, we all know it puts you in this peaceful, steady mindset versus looking at all the wrong, right? Energy flows where attention goes. And so if you are constantly, you know, thinking about the negative, what you don't want to happen, your whole energy is gonna flow towards where you have that attention. But when you start to, you know, pull out little things you're grateful for, and I'm not saying write like 20 pages a day of what you're grateful for, finding like 3 things to be grateful, and one of them may be the same thing every day. It may be your life. It may be your eyes. It may be your family. It may be your job. It may be your home. Whatever it is, when your attention is flowing in that direction, the energy surrounding you, the energy out there is going to continue to flow because that's where your energy, that's where your attention is. And energy will consistently flow wherever your attention goes. Okay? So how do you integrate new habits into existing routines? Maybe you already have your own thing going on, right? Something you can do is habit stacking. Another thing you do is setting reminders. But the biggest thing that I'd say you would do or should do or could do is give yourself grace during slip-ups. You may not always be on that routine. You may not always be on that schedule. Things happen. Life happens. You got to give yourself grace. You got to be like, ooh, that was a little off, but you know what? That's okay. I know for next time how to, you know, combat that. But when you just, you know, if something happens and it's not ideal and you're like, oh my God, this is the end of the world. I was not expecting this. I'm so blank, 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 blank. Oh, no, 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 no. Now look where your attention is and look at the energy that's coming there. You must give yourself grace during slip-ups because you're taking on a new habit. You're building something different. You're breaking out of a cycle. You're breaking out of a loop. And you're going in a different direction. You're flowing into a different direction. You're introducing something new. And it's just like when you learn a new thing. You may not remember it the first time. But the more that you continue to practice, the more you put into it, the more willpower and intention, the easier it becomes until it becomes a habit. Now, I do want to kind of give you guys just a little bit of an exercise that I feel might be helpful for you. I would say when you have this moment, like let's say like when you're doing your meditation for 5 minutes or your mindfulness for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever, I want you to take the moment, or if you can do it now, then that's amazing. But I want you to take a moment and really visualize your ideal day this year. I want you to visualize your ideal day in 2025. Don't visualize the year, just visualize a day. And you know, and if you're not on a private island right now, don't visualize that. Maybe it's hard for you to conceptualize the idea of having something more than you have now. And so you just become a little bit of a realist and still visualize a preferred ideal day. So take a moment, think about your ideal day. Focus on the habits that you would like to adopt. See what that looks like. Do you know what that looks like? And if it's not as easy to visualize your ideal day, then perhaps you just use this time to ask yourself, what is it that I like? How would I like my day to go? Is my ideal day like just staying in a bed until 12 p.m. and then getting up, putting on a comfortable robe because it's winter, sitting on the couch, binge watching TV with just peace, having a day of doing absolutely nothing except for watching a show that you really like? Is that what it is? Because if that is, then that's okay. What is the habit? The habit is peace, finding peace, doing things for yourself. Or is it something different? Is your ideal day, you know, feeling empowered in the morning, spending that time in mindfulness, you know, brushing your teeth, having a morning routine, seeing yourself flow through that morning routine, getting dressed, working out, having a fantastic workout session, going, taking a shower, changing into some clothes and, you know, building something that you like, or, you know, whatever it is. And then towards the night, you know, you have a night routine. What habits, you know, really get clear about that. Because the more that you can see it, the more that it feels good to you, because we don't do things for other people's gratification. But the more that it feels real to you, the more that it feels ideal to you, the smoother it'll flow. And it will allow you to see the things that you need to be adapting now, or it allows you to see the difference between that ideal day versus the days you have now, so you know how to adjust, what to pull out, even if it's just one thing, even if it's just a minor tweak. Because again, small consistent actions are more effective than massive overhauls. So I will leave you guys with that. I do want to take the moment to get some little ASMR right here. I do want to take a moment to pull a collective card. Ooh, that was loud. On 2025, what the collective energy is for this year, what it is that we're meant to focus on as a collective. All right. Ooh, okay, so this, I like this. So this year's energy, according to tarot, is the moon. And I love the moon because it is a mystical card. It not only illuminates the things that we keep inside and shines a light on it, but it also unveils a mystery. It's kind of like, who will you become by shining a light on the things that you tend to hide, or the things that you may be shameful of, or the things that, you know, you find shame in? Right? And I love that for this new year. I love this being the card for 2025 because it's like a pivot. When things are going a certain way, and then you're able to shine a light on it and see it from a five-dimensional aspect rather than just a two-dimensional aspect, you get a better grip and understanding of it. And by doing that, you allow for yourself to really shine and illuminate, because you're able to see the little shadows or darkness, and you're able to take that and alchemize it to become your best version. And so I really do love the moon card, not to mention it's also the number 18 in a tarot deck. And when you add 1 and 8, that makes a 9. And this is a 9 year. You see how it all lines up? I love this. I love it. But the moon is encouraging us to not be afraid of our darker aspects or our dark sides, because all of those things are us. All of it is us. And sometimes the darkness is what propels us forward, right? Like, when we talk about self-love, people say self-love isn't selfish. It kind of is. And it's like a balance, right? You have to be able to care about yourself enough and not... You have to be able to care about yourself enough and not put other people over you in like the most perfect balance. But that is also like a shadow effect, right? Because you're being selfish with your time. You're being selfish with your energy. And there are like negative connotations to being selfish. But those are necessary evils, if you will. Those are necessary darkness. And if you didn't have those dark sides of you, how could you embody the full light? Do you get what I'm saying? So it's a very, very give and take type of energy. And it's looking at yourself, not in a sense of judgment, not in a sense of scolding, but being gentle enough to identify, to see, hey, does this help me? Is this good for me? And how can I continue to flourish? Another thing that I want to say with the moon card for this year, I feel that it is kind of clearing illusions, right? I know that the moon can be tied to illusions, but the way how, especially with this deck and how it's speaking to me, is that this is a very much illuminating year, and it is time to show parts of you that you felt were not enough. It is time for you to take down or dismantle the version of you that was never true. Drop the illusion, drop the mask, and become whoever it is that you wish to be without a care in the world of what anyone else thinks. As long as it's not causing harm to other people and it's not causing harm to yourself, then you should be perfectly, perfectly, perfectly fine with being who you truly are and not really caring about what other people think. So I love that. I think it really tied right into the rest of the message that we had this in this episode, which is great. So that is our tarot card of the year. Sorry, next week I will be doing like weekly energy pulls and things like that. But yeah, I want to leave you with just a little quote, which is, change isn't easy, but it's worth it. You have everything you need to create a life you love. You just have to take it one day at a time. And with that, I want you to reflect on the lessons of 2024. I want you to set 1 to 3 aligned goals for 2025. And I want you to pick one habit, just one, to start implementing this week. Okay? You got that? If you feel called to do so, you're more than welcome to share your reflections or goals with me via social media or email, or keep them to yourself. Either way, it doesn't matter. But let's hold each other accountable for making 2025 our most transformative year yet. Next week, we're going to be talking about overcoming the fear of the unknown and how to step into new opportunities with confidence. Thank you guys so much for rocking with me and listening to today's episode. And I am so excited to be back next week to talk about overcoming changes, fear of the unknown, and all that good stuff. All right. I hope that you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. Of course, you'll hear me next week, but I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your year. And let this be the year. Let this be the year that you do something different than what you've done previous years. All right, you guys, love you so much. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.